These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And Kimbrel deals 1-2. Breaking ball is grounded weakly to third. Nunez fields, fires, and it is in time for the out. Ball game over. Boston wins. And the Yankees, I think, before they celebrate, I think the Yankees going to look at it. And I think the Yankees, and they'd be nuts not to look at it. Nunez fires to first, and he's out. The throw hit Pierce's glove. He's out. Ball game over. Boston wins. And Boston wins the American League Division Series 3-1.
John Sterling. And here we go. Felger and Maz, the day after Red Sox moving on to the American League Championship Series. They win in New York last night by the skin of their teeth.
You get that right.
We have your reaction all day long. Maz, as you can hear in the Maz chair, Big Jim Murray will be alongside in our update studio, and we'll hear from you all day long. Maz, what are your opening takes from last night?
Okay, so here's where I would like to begin. That over the past 2 or 3 years, maybe even over the past 4 or 5, really, as I look at it, I have watched the Red Sox routinely crap their pants. Routinely. And particularly in the biggest spots and the biggest moments against the best teams, they crap their pants. And last night, I would like to congratulate them because they got me to crap mine watching that thing in the ninth inning last night.
Nice line, Maz.
I completely crap my pants watching that thing. I completely crap my pants. I can't tell you the last time I had that much anxiety at the end of a Red Sox baseball game. I can't tell you. Not game one, because in game one, I looked at it and I said, it's the first game of the series. Right out of the gate, here we go. Well, there was no finality to it. You knew there was going to be another game. In fact, you knew there was going to be another two. But last night, as that thing was unraveling, I thought, they're going to blow this. They're going to blow it, and then they have to play game five after having blown that game. It's one of those moments where you say, they might have just lost the series. That might be it. Same old Red Sox. And it went the other way. And I was on the edge like everybody else, man. That thing was heart-stopping, gut-wrenching, call it whatever you want. At the end of the day, they won the game. They took two in New York. The series is over. The flaws are still there. Those aren't going away. Those are still there. But for them to get over a hurdle that they've been unable to clear for the last 2 years, to me, you give them credit for that. And we can say definitively now they were better than the Yankees this year.
Oh, for sure. But that thing's my first takeaway, just how badly they needed that. You know, how badly they needed that win. And all the things now that, I don't know if they're over, but they're certainly over for the time being. Let's see what happens in the next round and how it unfolds. But for the most part, you know, the asterisks have to be put back on because it validates their season. And, you know, all these narratives, and you know, they're not media narratives. They're actual narratives. None of their pitchers ever having a postseason win. Their offense not being able to come through in the last two postseasons. Them winning only 1 of 7 postseason games the last 2 years. Can they play under pressure? Can they play when the moment's the toughest? Can their pitchers come through in these high level? I mean, those were all legitimate, actual questions based on actual history and facts that they had to get over. It's not a media argument. It's things they actually had to overcome. And so them overcoming them is huge.
Oh, absolutely. Look, and even the players, I think, to some degree admitted that last night. Xander Bogaerts had a comment after the game of, you know, we kind of been stuck in the same spot for a couple of years. And so now they got through it. Now, do they play like a team that is liberated now that they're in the LCS and play even better? I don't know. I mean, we'll see how that one shakes out. But you could sense that it meant a great deal to them. And I think it meant a great deal to everybody to get back to this level.
It should have. I mean, this is important for the team. And again, this is not a talk show narrative. This is for the team that Sale has postseason success, tremendous postseason success, that Porcello now has postseason success. These offensive pieces have they have success. And now it's that thing is off their back, and that's important. And so that's, you know, that should be the first takeaway. The second one for me is that they also earned it. I think, you know, in hindsight, you look back and you say they went down to New York and they played really well. I mean, to a man, just about to a man. I mean, who played poorly down there other than Kimbrell?
Really? Until the last inning, they played a great 17 innings in that series.
There's only one guy, and it was only Kimbrell. I mean, I meant to look at, did they commit one error down in New York?
Not that I remember.
I don't think they committed one error. I don't think they made one stupid base running play. Did they get caught off once in New York?
No. No, they ran. In fact, I would say the opposite. Not only did they not make a stupid play, they ran the base as well. They went first to third again last night. I mean, they did it again. It was Benintendi last night.
I think everybody hit, maybe not Jackie Bradley, but pretty much everyone that was put in the lineup contributed something offensively. Their pitching was terrific. Evaldi was terrific. Porcello was very good. Brazier and Barnes each went 1-2-3 in their innings, didn't they?
Yep. In the 6th, 7th, 8th, the Red Sox went, I mean, the Yankees went 9 up, 9 down.
So they pitched terrifically. So they didn't just go down to New York and pull it out. They went down to New York and played really well in every single phase. The only guy that didn't play well was Kimbrell, the only guy. And I don't think that's any small feat given the fact that those first couple games, they didn't play very well.
No, they looked shaky.
The bullpen was a mess. Price, as usual, left the bacon strip in his pants. Couple guys, you know, couple key offensive pieces weren't hitting. And you come out of that, heading out of Boston, saying, go to New York. Like, how do they survive doing that? They can't survive like this. And they didn't. They didn't survive like that. They went down there. They played really well on all sides of the ball.
No question. Yeah, look, it was pretty complete. It was pretty comprehensive. And as you said, to a man. And this is one of the things that stuck out. You know, Cora in the post game last night said, look, hey, we're a good team. You know, we do a lot of different things. We can win in a lot of different ways. And now I still think they have their holes, or maybe it's a hole, which we all know what it is and how obvious it is. But that said, you know, they can beat you in a lot of ways. And again, look, I just think there was a lot to absorb coming out of there last night. But, you know, Porcello said, hey, look at the two games. And we win one of them 16-1 and the other one 4-3.
And they did everything well. They did everything well in those two games down there.
Except close the second one.
Okay, except for Kimbrell. That's obviously the one exception, which I'm sure we will discuss. My third takeaway, Maz, I have three, is that they should have killed him last night. Now, I'm not blaming them. It's playoff baseball. You're in Yankee Stadium. Things happen. The other team is paid, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not like ripping the Red Sox. But I felt they were such the better team as that thing unfolded last night. I think CC Sabathia had absolutely nothing.
Particularly in the first inning, I thought. But go ahead.
Nothing. He had nothing. All he was reduced to is praying for marginal calls from Angel Hernandez, which he didn't get, and then like a loser cried about after the game when he had nothing. And I think the Red Sox, I mean, I think they should have, they easily could have, and pounded him into submission and come out there with 7 runs against him instead of the 3. And then there were even some late game situations where, you know, they should have tacked on 1 or 2 more. And then if Kimbrell doesn't, you know, absolutely lose it, they win comfortably. So I think last night could have been and should have been a blowout. Again, I'm not criticizing for the fact that it wasn't. I'm just telling you how big I felt that gap was last night between the two teams.
Well, and I felt this way during the game up until the end of it. But if you put the two wins next to each other, last one's the more meaningful one, and not because it was the clincher. That was a real game. You had to execute every inning. The first one, listen, it was great. You blew them out. You got way ahead. Fine. Garbage time halfway through the game. But ultimately, that doesn't tell you anything about their mettle. What it just tells you is that they blew him out. They were unfazed coming off a game two, and there's no small message there either. But that one last night, you had to execute down the stretch. You had to execute in the 6th and the 7th and the 8th and the 9th, right? So again, it wasn't perfect. But I also think in some ways, you're not going to go in there and get airtight final 4 innings. You're just not. Now, Kimbrell was his own worst enemy last night, so I'm not, you know, I'm just saying there's something that's going to come up in those final innings at New York, always.
I just think they played really well.
They did.
They played really well, and they deserve it. And I think it's a huge threshold for that team, never mind the media narratives and all of that, which is just goes easier on you folks from 2 to 6 or from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on sports radio. The wise guys like Jim Murray have to really keep the asterisks off now and
it was off anyway, but now this validates the 108 wins, which I continued to scoff at, despite the removal of the asterisk after the sweep of the Yankees in the beginning of August, because of how top-heavy the American League was. But that was a ballsy series that they just played. They were the better team in New York than they were here for the first couple of games.
No doubt.
And the most impressive thing to me, considering how many home runs the Yankees hit this year, They kept them homerless in New York, in their own ballpark.
Yeah, first time, I think it was the New York Times, Tyler Kepney had that stat. First time since April they had back-to-back home games without a homer.
Wow.
And look, Cora said it over and over, right? Going into the series, you got to keep them in the ballpark. Which is Cora's way of saying they're a trick-or-treat team. If they don't homer, they don't score. They're not built that way. They don't have a lot of high average guys.
Boy, did that turn out to be true.
He's dead on. I mean, they kept the ball in the ballpark and they won the game. And the runs they gave him at the end, they gave him. They gave him. Kimbrel playing pin the tail on the donkey out there. Okay. And I don't want to dwell on that too much out of the gate. Well, no. Segment one. Segment one.
No. Let's get to Kimbrel now.
Holy mackerel.
Is he afraid of his fastball, man?
He's like, afraid, period. Sorry, Murray. I didn't mean to jump down
your... No, look, I was with you. The stress level was pinned at that ball. It's like, you're right. They were the better team up until that ninth inning. Like, and he almost gave it away in the most ridiculous fashion possible. And that was like Calvin Schiraldi-esque. What the hell is wrong with you?
Four pitch walks, hit one guy.
Hit a guy.
Should have hit a second, you know.
Bouncing balls,
you know, ripping them into the ground. Sanchez almost hits a three-run hole. I mean, just, and the sweats and the whole look and the conveyance. I mean, he dropped a load in his pants.
He choked.
But he is sort of, this is sort of the year he's had. It's not that bad, but he's been yanking the ball for the whole, I don't know if the whole year, but at least half it, man.
Second half. I mean, yep. Second half of the year.
He's lost his control. I mean, how many times have we come up here and shown you like a pitch chart of how he pitched a certain guy in a key spot in a regular season game? And, you know, ball one is up here and ball two is down there and ball three is up here. It's, you know, like the spray chart. And so he's had a lack of control all at least half season.
Definitely the second half of the year. And I actually thought at the very end, particularly in game one, when I saw him in game one, I thought, ooh, a little bit better. Like maybe he's actually dialing it in. You know, he struck out three guys and he gave up a hit, but he didn't walk anybody. And I thought, okay, maybe there's something there. Then last night, I told you, I was right there with him. Every pitch he threw, I was crapping my pants a little bit more.
There's only one guy he looked comfortable against.
Stanton.
Which is a whole nother story unto itself. Yeah. Has that fellow never seen a curveball?
I mean, he is. Look, I said this at the beginning of the year.
Does no one throw him sliders?
I mean, I wanted the Red Sox to get him at the beginning of the year, and the more you watch him, boy, he's an easy out.
Throw him a slider.
He's a bum's bum. He really is. And I was with Maz. Like, I was apoplectic that they didn't, you know, make any effort to get him. He stinks.
Well, and other than Boone in New York, he is the face of it.
So he should be the face of it. He was 38-100 in the regular season. Like, that, you know, I think people have gone a little too far with that. I mean, that ain't Carl Crawford. I mean, he's... But in those spots, just throw him a slider.
Absolutely. Yep. Can't cover that part, outside part of the plate.
Like, what?
Yep. Completely melts, buckles,
joke,
swings from his ass.
If you start the slider at his knees, he completely buckles like he's never seen it before. And if the slider's off the outside of the plate, he can't help himself. He can't stop.
Correct.
So, like, that is part of the face of it in New York, and it should be. Boy, what a big spot that was for him last night.
Well, so look, on the two tabloids, whose picture was on it in the back page?
I haven't even seen yet.
Stanton. Stanton, one of them, he's next to Voit, Joey Buttafuoco, Biff, down there at first base. The two of them, they're hanging over the railing on the dugout, and on the other one, he's flying solo. Curse of the Bambinos,
nice,
is what they gave. I think it was on the post. And he is, Stanton is the face of it, and along with Boone. Like, you can't leave him out of it either. But the Yankees looked, at times, inept. And look, give the Red Sox credit. They were tactically, they were prepared for the series. They executed where they needed to execute. But make no mistake, he got away with it. But Kimbrel choked. That was a choke job.
Okay, folks, your thoughts on that? Your thoughts on the Red Sox advancing to the American League Championship Series? We got the whole rest of the week to talk about the Astros, so we'll try and keep the reaction to last night. But call someone whenever you want. 617-779-0985 to you right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Red Sox 4, Yankees 1. Craig Kimbrel to face Aaron Judge. And he missed. Battling. Ball 4. Gregorius. And a bouncing ball. That's through. Base hit. Judge will stop at second. Gregorius with a two-strike single. And the tying run will back in this ninth inning. Stanton has grounded out three times tonight. Here's a 1-2 and a swing and a miss. And Stanton is down. The 3-0 and Voit takes ball 4. They are loaded. Switch hitter Neil Walker. And that hit him. It hit him. A run is in. It's a two-run game. The line keeps moving for the Yankees. Full count, one away. Sanchez has been selling out for the fastball. The 3-2, and a swing and a high fly ball. And Antendi at the track will make the catch, tagging at third, and scoring is Gregorius. It is a one-run game, but Boston is one out away as Gary Sanchez just missed his moment in the sun.
Ball was supposed to be up. It was middle, and he just got under it.
And it is in the hands of the 21-year-old second baseman, Gleyber Torres. Here he comes, the 1-2. Bouncing ball, going to be a tough play. Nunez gloves, throws, and in time for the out. The Boston Red Sox win the division series 3 out of 4 against the Yankees, and the Boston Red Sox are headed to the American League Championship Series.
Thanks to Jimmy Stewart for putting that together. What a ninth inning. I mean, just one little thing here or there, and that's a tie ball game at least. And then just the utter ineptitude. I mean, first at bat, Judge, 4-pitch walk.
Well, right then and there, you knew. I mean, right then and there, I said, oh, here we go.
And still the number of bad pitches the Yankees swung at bat. So they in that inning, they Judge, 4-pitch walk. And again, we were slow putting the phones up. It's open now at 617-779-0985. If you were trying to call, you can jingle us now. So 4-pitch walk to Judge. Gregorius, he almost gets hit on the 0-1 pitch. And then on a 1-2 pitch, or 0-2 pitch, he swings at some horrible thing down and in that could have hit him again if he just stood in there. And it's like, okay, well, Gregorius is going to swing himself out of this at bat. No, he singles. Then Lavangie comes out for Stanton. And again, Stanton is just, you've got to be kidding me. Throw him a slider at his knees. He buckles like he's never seen it before. Throw him a slider outside, and he can't stop himself like he's Grayson Allen trying to trip someone off the bench. He just has a tick.
I mean, and he doesn't come close to reaching it.
It's just horrible. So he strikes out. You think, okay, here we go. Then here comes Voit, 4-pitch walk. And there was a pitch in there that I noted that there was a late timeout call.
Yeah, he wasn't even looking at the plate.
It might have been Vasquez who called it. I can't remember if it was
Vasquez. Did call. He put his arms up to call time.
And Campbell wasn't even paying attention. And then he actually threw the ball. Do you remember where that ball went?
Yeah, he bounced it in the dirt.
It's like 30 feet.
Yeah, and it skipped past. And my guess is once he realized that nobody was there, he just kind of half-assed it. But the fact is, he wasn't even looking.
Or maybe that's just the way he was throwing the ball that inning.
Could be that, too, given the way last night went.
I just remembered where that pitch ended up. And so he ends up walking Voit on 4 pitches. Here we go. Bases loaded. Hits Neil Walker. Now we're at 4-2. Bases loaded still. Just the one out. And they show a shot in the Red Sox pen and no one's up. How'd you feel about that?
At that stage, honestly, it didn't bother me a ton. And I'll tell you why. Who's going to come in and do better? Kelly?
Well, they got Kelly up late, right?
Okay, they did. But again, so it's one thing to say you bring a guy into a clean inning to start the seventh. Bases loaded, game on the line in New York. Joe Kelly's going to throw a strike. No shot. Like, I felt once it got to that stage, I said, well, now you're living and dying with him.
And they kept showing cutaways to Cora, and man, was he cool as a cucumber. I couldn't believe it. Like, no one up. He's just like sort of shrugging his shoulders like, here we go. And, because again, that's sort of how Kimbrel's been living this half season. So then you get Sanchez, 0-2. And Sanchez, who, you know, isn't exactly, the master of discipline up there either, works it to 3-2. And that's just when he hit that deep fly ball that, was a sack fly, almost went out, and then Torres. But what an absolute crap show by Craig Kimbrel there.
Oh, my gosh, please. He melted. He melted. And again, the other thing with Kimbrel, and this changed finally when Sanchez came to the plate. And this has been not just last night. This is true almost every time he comes in now. First pitch to every guy's a breaking ball. Every single guy. It's the same thing. And then he doesn't have the feel for it. And so if he doesn't have the feel for it, he gets behind in the count. And then all of a sudden, then you can see him start to get rattled. And then he starts yanking the fastball all over the place. At least with Sanchez, he threw fastballs to start. Because by that point, he said, I can't get the breaking ball over.
Okay, so the Stanton at bat was one that I starred. I think that was the second most important at bat. I think the most important at bat in the entire game came in the fifth inning. Porcello's last at bat.
Agreed. Aaron Hicks.
Bases loaded were again. Bases again were loaded. Aaron Hicks with two outs. And I think the bases were loaded.
Yeah, they were loaded.
Okay, bases loaded. You're 4-1 at that point. They just hit a sac fly. You're 4-1 at that point. Bases are loaded. Here's Hicks. And Porcello is just about done. And Barnes is up. And Judge is sitting on deck. And it's like, ooh, if Porcello doesn't get Hicks, they're bringing in Barnes for Judge. And I hate that. I heard you and Lou talking on TV last night. I think it's a good point. There's something different about bringing a guy out of the pen in Yankee Stadium versus starting that clean inning. If Porcello loses Hicks, I think Cora has to go to Barnes there because Porcello's done. That's his last batter. And now you've got Barnes coming out of that bullpen with Aaron Judge on deck at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
And he got Hicks to fly out. And I thought that to me was the biggest at bat of the
game. And Hicks gave him a good fight, too, good at bat. And I just looked again. They weren't loaded. There was only a man on, but he represented the tying. What would have made it 4-3 game, I think. But in any case, I remember thinking.
There was only one on?
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised too. I thought there were more men on base than that at that point because Sanchez had scored and only Torres was still
okay,
on the bases.
I got it. That's right. Okay.
But you know, Hicks is back in the lineup. Short porch in Yankee Stadium. Hicks has had a good year. Like if I was thinking, 2-run homer here, you're in trouble because for all the reasons we've discussed. Like you get into the middle innings, you need a 3 or 4 run cushion against that team going into the late innings. If you're 4-3 going into the sixth, you're in trouble. And the other thing is, by that point, it was apparent that, you know, Boone's going to his bullpen, and now you're getting Robertson, now you're getting Betances, then you're not going to score again. I mean, if the Yankees pitch like they're capable of, you're not going to get another run. So you're looking at that game going, this is it. You start giving up runs in the middle innings, and you're in trouble. And they were able to get it to the ninth at 4-1, which is a miracle unto itself.
They all did a great job. I mean, called a miracle, whatever. They executed. They pitched great. Porcello pitched great. Barnes and Brazier go 1-2-3 in the sixth and seventh inning at Yankee Stadium.
So you learn a lot about how Cora views his bullpen right there.
Wow.
So to me, and that was one of the real takeaways of the game going forward now, that you look at it and say, okay, you get a 4-1 game in Yankee Stadium to clinch the series. The starter's out. Who goes into the game? Who gets the ball? Kimbrel's easy, right? Because you don't have another closer. And they gave it to Sale in the eighth. The only true two bullpen guys that got the ball were Barnes and Brazier. And so that tells you going forward, similar spot, where's he going to go?
So something like that.
Yeah, Kelly's out, Hembree's out, those other guys are out.
He's going to piece it together, and he's going to piece it together with a starter.
Correct.
Who's on his bullpen day or something like that, which is good. Good. Excellent. I'm all for that. I don't hold that against him. That's fine. I mean, if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. And if your manager can handle it, then great. And if your pitcher can handle it, that's great. And that's so. I'm sorry. This is the last takeaway. Then we'll get to your phones. To me, the thing with Sale was him being used as an ace, which isn't just pitching game one and being okay, or coming back the next series and being okay. The ace and what the Red Sox need is Sale in game one, game five, and one in relief. And the next series, they need game one, game four, and then relief in game seven. And then the World Series, game one, game four, relief in game six and game seven. Like, that's what you need from Chris Sale. Last night, that's how he was used, and he was up to it.
He was a weapon.
That's a huge development.
Yeah, and that's also reassuring because it tells you he's not hurt. They wouldn't have put him in that spot if he were hurt. So they clearly had enough. Can he hit 96, which, fine, me, no problem there. You're good at 96. And so that's a good sign. It's a good point. You need Sale to be a weapon.
So it's not just starting those games and getting through five or six. It's doing it a couple times a series and being in position in relief.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Alex, I know you guys were sort of coy about it when asked before Game 3, but given that in your clubhouse you're playing New York, New York during the celebration, did that resonate with you maybe more than you guys let on after Game 2, Judge playing?
Not with me, but I know they talk about it. When Dustin brought it up, I was like, well, they ain't happen. I don't know if they took it personal. Probably if we played Dirty Water at Yankee Stadium and they would have clinched in Fenway. Well, they probably played Dirty Water in their clubhouse. So I don't know, man. The kid, he's a great kid. He's a good player. One of the best in the game. He's one of those guys that can become the face of baseball from afar. I really enjoy watching him play, not when he's playing against us. So he's good for baseball. Nothing personal with him.
What an exceptionally classy answer by Alex Cora last night after the game. As the Red Sox were playing New York in their clubhouse when they started their celebration. Apropos, and that's what you get. That's what you get when you can't keep it in your pants. And you get ahead of yourself and you start, I don't know. I would just advise anyone to keep it in their pants. And so Aaron Judge let it out of his pants there after game two, and that's what happens. That's what happens. So that's an answer I love from Cora. The answer we just played from Cora with Chris Russo on High Heat just a few minutes ago, Alex Cora announcing that David Price is your number two starter in the ALCS. Your thoughts?
Hate it. Hate it. I told you yesterday when we first brought this up, I said, well, I go game two and game six because I want him no part of game seven. And then I started thinking about it through the course of the show yesterday, and then Porcello goes out and pitches well last night. You had four games in the division series. How did your starters do? Good, yeah. Except for one guy. So, and this guy's got a long history of being bad in the playoffs. So to me, Price should be game four. The best way to use Price in this series to me, game four in Houston. Granted, it's on the road, but you know, you're indoors. It's good. The weather's not going to be an issue. You're not going to have any of that. And then beyond that, you can pitch him out of the bullpen early and late if you need it. Like, to me, that's the way to go with Price in this series.
The rotation should be Sale, Eovaldi, Porcello, then Price. So you're assuring him one start if this thing goes seven games. That's it. That's all it should be, and it's on the road. I can't believe that he's doing this. Then again, every button that Corey's pushed has been the right button. So maybe Price against Houston's going to be better than it was against New York.
They must like the matchup.
Supposed to be in the low 50s to high 40s. And, Ray, I'm just looking at my app. Saturday, rain and 54 for a high.
Saturday's game one. It was Sunday. What's Sunday?
Oh, Sunday.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be in the 40s, I think, Sunday night. It's going to be cold.
50s. Low 50s Sunday night.
Okay. So there you go. I mean, either way, I say same thing. You know, that's a factor, too. And so, look, they've gone matchups. I mean, based on the last couple of games, look at the decisions they've made. Right? Lineups, they've gone. Holt hits for the cycle, for crying out loud, even though it's fake. And the next night, he's on the bench. So they went right back, and maybe this is a strength of Cora's that, you know, it's week to week. It would be week to week in the NFL, game to game in baseball. He's going to play matchups.
Okay, well, here's something I'm curious, and we'll get to. Is how much of it is Cora, and how much is it the front office and the analytics department with the Red Sox? I want to be fair to that situation. So we'll get to that, but I've been leaving you guys hanging long enough. To your reaction to the Red Sox winning last night in New York and heading into Houston, Jack and Milton, lead us off today. What do you got?
I was just talking about the pitching rotation. I really thought that they pitched really well. Two gutsy performances in New York from Eovaldi and Porcello. And I think the reason they really won this series is because their starting pitching was just so much better than the Yankees, with the exception of game two, of course.
I'm going to stop you. No question about it. Sabathia is useless to me.
Yeah, he is totally.
Nothing. You guys got nothing left.
And Severino was a complete puddle himself in this series.
Was an embarrassment. Showing up late, getting out there late, not being ready to go. Embarrassing.
Yeah, huge advantage. No question. That was the biggest area. That was the biggest difference in the series was the starting pitching. If you were to pick one area, that was it. No two ways about it. And look, I would also tell you that I think the Red Sox got exceptional contributions out of their role players in this series. Like Jimmy and I were talking about this before the show. If I were to ask you, they don't give an MVP in the division series, but if they did, who do you give it to?
Who's my MVP of the division series?
Tough one, right?
Mm.
I mean, because there isn't one. There isn't a singular guy. And you know why? I mean, J.D. Martinez a home run in game one, but he wasn't a huge factor after that. You could say maybe Sale, maybe Porcello. Right? It was a four-game series.
Maybe Sandy Leone.
Did Kimbrel have two saves?
Game one?
No way.
No,
Kimbrel had two saves.
You can't give it a hit.
Kimbrel had two saves.
No. So, but this is sort of my point, that it's really, it was the combination of Holt, Kinsler, Nunez, Devers. Like, that group is what was really the separating, offensively, the separating element. Like, the starting pitching was the biggest area of edge, but there was no singular player for the Red Sox who dominated the series.
Billy in Rhode Island, go.
How you doing, Felger?
Good, Billy. What do you got?
I'm with you 100% on, you know, they just won the series. It's just that simple. You know what happened in the ninth inning? Anything can happen. And that does happen. I mean, that's baseball. The second thing is, I'm still leery of that third base for the Red Sox. These two guys, they either throw it away or they miss the ball. And that might come up in the playoffs, and I'm still worried about that.
So, Billy, how could you say that after your third baseman made a game-saving play last night? Does Devers make that play?
I don't know. I doubt it. It's close. He's pretty good on the ball coming in. You know, but, I mean...
How's his arm?
good. He's got a good arm, but he's erratic. I mean, he's got arm strength.
I mean, the key to that play was the throw.
Yes, absolutely. On the run. No question about it.
And he released it. He gunned it.
Yep. And, you know, and Pierce made a good play to stay on the bag and grab it. So when that ball was hit, I don't know how you guys felt. I went, oh, boy. Immediately, I said, infield hit. I didn't think they had a prayer. As soon as the ball went off the bat, I said, they're screwed. That's a hit. I thought they had zero chance on that play. Zero. So, you know, good for Nunez for pulling it off. I didn't think he had a prayer.
But going forward, was there a word on Nunez's injury?
So that, I mean, he hobbled off the field. That didn't look good. And some of the stuff we heard post-game last night suggested that they're worried about him and Moreland going into the next round.
Okay. And I'm sorry, you were going to finish?
No. So, I mean, the Moreland thing you knew, but against Houston, having Devers on the field might actually be better off because they're going to throw righties at you anyway.
One thing I do disagree with the caller, the ninth inning, that's just baseball. That can happen. Kimbrel's been sketchy the entire half season. He's been sketchy now for months. And that's sort of on my list of concerns. I mean, he's the guy. I mean, like, not to the point where I'm replacing him or anything like that. It's just that wasn't exactly in a vacuum last night. He's been yanking the baseball for months, and he's not the same guy that he was last year, for example. And so that's just, you know, that's more than just baseball. That's that guy.
I mean, and he has lapses like this. It happened to him 2 years ago. 2 years ago, he struggled with it for almost a whole year where he was doing the same kind of thing, yanking the ball all over the place. You start doing that? You think the bullpen was bad until now? Wait until the Astros series.
Long commercial-free segment is next. We get into some of Alex Cora's decision-making this series.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
He's still a tough matchup, but the way Brock was swinging the bat, we do feel that he can put good at-bats against him.
That ball's ripped down the right field line. That is a fair ball home run, and the cycle for Brock Holt.
Stuff-wise, one of the best pitchers in big leagues. Velocity, movement with the cutter, he has that split. Been throwing the ball well against them.
There's a called strike three as Eovaldi hits 100 here in the seventh inning. There's a swing and a miss for back-to-back strikeouts for Eovaldi.
Like yesterday, we felt that was the best lineup for us to attack Severino, and tonight we feel this is the best lineup to attack CC Sabathia. We got a group of righties that we feel that we can match up with him and take advantage of the situation.
Now another base hit for Boston. Could certainly tighten the screws on Aaron Boone. That one's hit hard left field. Gardner can't make the play. Bounces off the wall. Pierce scores. Kinsler into second base with an RBI double. And now another base hit. Nunez into left field. Kinsler's going to turn and head home. It's going to be 3-0 Red Sox. Eduardo Nunez with a two-out RBI single. Fly ball right field. Vasquez sending Judge back. Got some carry. And this ball's going to bounce out. It's a home run for Vasquez.
We returned a lot of guys. And, you know, he didn't come in and try and change everything. He just let us be free. I think, you know, he's done a great job in doing that.
I give an enormous amount of credit to Alex, and it seemed like every move he made in this series worked out. Holt playing yesterday and Kinsler playing today. Kinsler had a big key hit. He managed the pitching very well. Had Sale come in the eighth inning, which was very exciting. So he gets an enormous amount of credit.
Out there, Maz, is it founded?
Oh, I mean, I don't think there's any question. You know, he's hot. He's the hottest player in baseball right now. There's no two ways about that. Like, of all the guys that are having the biggest postseasons, Alex Cora is right up there near the top of the list. And look, I don't know if it'll sustain itself or not. A lot of it's luck. But the way it's going for him right now, you almost never see it that way. Like, you insert lefties into the lineup, and they get 8 hits and knock in 7 runs. Then the next night, you insert righties in the lineup, and in their first 5 at-bats, they get 3 hits and knock-in runs. And the most stunning one of it all, really, was Vasquez.
The catcher.
Absolutely. Because he had not caught Porcello all year long. Then you get to game 4 in Yankee Stadium, and that's when you decide to shake it up? That night. And he drops her into the first row in the right field seats that ends up being the decisive run in the game. So, like, you know, Cora's hot. He's hot. So, you know, and I hate the game 2 decision with Price. I hate it, but you know what Murray was saying? Who the hell knows? Core feels like he's so locked in right now that he's hitting all the magic buttons that, you know, Price will probably go out and pitch well.
Here's my only yeah, but. I would say who's ever ultimately making these decisions for the Red Sox is hot. I'm not convinced that they're all Cora, especially these game-to-game ones. In-game, you know, you got to think it's mostly him. I mean, I don't know if they call down or not, but in between games, I mean, don't they all get together? And isn't the whole position now managerial position turned into managing the personalities but taking the analytics from the analytics department and using their suggestions?
Sure.
I mean, isn't that why you hire Alex Cora, Aaron Boone? Isn't that the whole idea? Guys with no managerial experience actually have a shot because it's their group decisions, i.e. they hand you the three-ring binder and say, here you go. Here's your game plan. So all I'm saying is, in between games, who says it's not the nerds? Maybe the nerds are making these calls.
I refuse to give credit to the nerds.
I know.
They're the ones that ruin baseball.
Generally speaking, I'm anti-nerd. I'm just saying, if we're being fair, if we're being consistent and fair about it, this is what we've all acknowledged the game has become. And in fact, before game one, I just asked Maz off the air. Remember game one? They played someone. I can't remember who. And they asked Cora about it. And he said, well, I got to play this guy or else I'm going to get fired, right?
Was it Kinsler?
Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it Kinsler?
It was Pierce.
Oh, Steve Pierce.
Well, oh, because Steve Pierce.
Because his numbers against Happ.
Pierce hits Happ.
Maybe that's what it was.
So Pierce was in the three hole even.
Right.
And we said, he's your third hitter? This, you know, extra player you got at the and Cora said in his pregame, well, I don't hit this guy, I get fired, right? And we all said, well, there's a sure sign that this comes from the analytics. This comes from the between games crew.
Sure.
So what's to say that all these moves aren't that?
Well, so look, I think there's an element of that. There's no question. But at the end of the day, who gets the final call?
I don't know if it's him.
So I think in a lot of them, it is him. Now, look, maybe Dombrowski's on his back about specific ones. But I think that...
I don't know if it's him.
I mean, if he's sitting there with his coaches aren't overruling him.
Of course not. But I think for a lot of these managers, the whole parameter is you're going to work with our analytics department. You're going to work with the information that we give you. That was the really thing that got Grady Little fired, is that they kept handing him the three-ring binders and he kept throwing them in the trash.
Okay, but again, he took it to an extreme. This guy, you can't expect any manager to put everything you want in the game plan. I think you end up picking and choosing. And so I'm telling you, I think Cora has more to do with it than you do. I do.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just telling you, I think a lot of these things are run by the analytics department. I think a lot of these newfangled managers are just taking the analytics information and using it and managing the personalities in the clubhouse. That's what we've always said. Now they make all these in-game moves. I'm sorry, between-game moves is what I mean. Game-to-game moves. We're like, wow, look at Cora. Well, I don't know. Wait a minute. Haven't we just been talking about how it's the analytics departments? I'm just trying to be fair. I'm just trying to keep it consistent. And I don't know. It's probably a combination of the two, but I think people are probably ignoring that other thing.
Well, sure. Look, there's no doubt. What I'm interested in is how they use it. In other words, is it purely the left-right number? Or is it, well, we like this guy against this kind of pitcher? Or
I mean, Price in game two. Price is starting game two, and we all go, huh? Well, let's dig into the numbers. Does he have great individual splits against that lineup?
Well, he was good against them in two games this year.
He was. He pitched well against them this year, yeah.
Bingo! So is that a managerial gut thing, or is that a nerd saying,
well, his whip in the two games against Houston, he's got a 3.45 split line, and
here you go, Alex. They're your matchups. I don't know. I thought that's how baseball was run nowadays.
Well, it is to a degree, but I also think that is minimizing his ability to process it. Like, in other words, he still has to be able to look at it and go, no, it's not going to work that way. Like, and I cite an example from early in the year when I think they pinch hit Sandy Leone, and he answered the question by saying, well, look, he's better from the right side. He's a good fastball hitter.
No, like I said, in game, you got to, it's, you know, hard to imagine the nerds can get down to him in time with the proper data, although who knows? Between games?
They have iPads and Apple Watches.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, in my typical fashion, I'm just, you know, giving a little contrarian thought on Alex Cora. I just wonder how much of it is really the organization, because it's how these things are run. That's just your thought. Who's ever making the call, though, has Mr. Poopy Pants himself in game two set up for two starts against the Houston Astros. So I guess if he craps a bed, we can blame the nerds. If it happens to work out, we'll give Alex the credit. Like, that's usually what, I mean, that's generally what I want to do. I want to credit people and blame nerds and blame the computers. But who's ever coming up with that, whatever algorithm spat that one out, you get Mr. Bacon Strip himself in game two.
See, I put this one on Cora. I do. I put it on Cora. I'm sorry. Ultimately, he's the manager. So I look at it and say, if you're going to pitch Price in game two, he better pitch well. He better pitch well.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.